comes out from what we've said, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is manning the world with two hanhogas. From our perspective, they're two completely mutually exclusive concepts. Yet Hashem manages to work them together like he does lots of other things. Harishoni hanhogas hamishpat, v'ilashni hanhogas hayichud. As we said, shtei hanhogas haelu mashlim zu zu. These two hanhogas complement each other. Hanhogas hamishpat mechinu meves ha'adam la'hanhogas hayichud. Hanhogas hamishpat, it prepares a person and brings him to what's called hanhogas hayichud. V'nanas hayichud nitzlechas k'day lichleis es hara min ha'olam. Hanhogas hayichud is what's necessary in order to get the evil out of the world. V'lechein muchrach hara litgaber v'oifen kazeh shelo tiyeh lo yoyses chus kiyum. The evil has to get bigger and bigger and bigger until it has no more schus kiyum anymore, and then it will disappear. Mikan nilmad ki goydul hatzoris vayisurim hamitgabrim aleinu ba'eis ha'achreina. The enormous increase and strengthening of yisurim and suffering in the world. Ubetragidiyot shonot umeshonot. Terrible tragedies and suffering. Shelo shmait an oizen mo'ilo. It's a sign that we're coming to the end, the last nifchan. Hashem asks us please to hold on, so that he can bring the world to its final rectification. And then we'll get the schar for all eternity. All the kushi and kaev, im kol ha sevel she tzadikim soivlim v'zman tikboiris hara, with all the difficulties, with all the pain, and with all the sevel, then I translate sevel, all the load, the burden, the tzadikim suffer when the evil grows. Aleihem ledat she kol ze goyrim lekach ki heim yikabel eschorim. We need to know that this is only causing Hashem to give us more schar. And the reward's going to be much greater than we deserve. It means I look at my ma'asim and I think to myself, yo, waiting for Olam Haba? No. I don't know. Doesn't look so good right now, you know? No, you need to know that the suffering is causing the enormity of the schar. It's not just your deeds that are going to give you reward, it's also the yisurim. Vaz ye ne, then you start dubbing for more yisurim, yeah? Vaz ye nika ki kola ra tachliso le toive vehoyo Hashem echad ushmo yechod. And then we'll realize what, the same way as the brothers understood when they heard Ani Yosef, they understood what all the suffering was for 22 years. Not just will the redemption come, but when the redemption comes, you'll understand everything had happened and why it was good. Yirotzen she'amnam niske lebiya shel geula shleima. You elu yomim shetimola aretz daya es Hashem va'av gedoyla Hashem tifreitz milibois kol Yisrael tomid omein v'omein. Hadron alecho. So what do you do when you finish a sefer that you haven't understood properly? What again? That's what we're going to do at least till the end of this month. Next month maybe we'll do something else. If you come up with any suggestions, requests, you know, you have the request shows, you know. You phone in and request the guy to play a song or whatever. So you can phone in and request the sefer. Shinu Chachamim, I'm back to the beginning. I don't know what you call it in French, but it's called the Mavur. Mavoy, the forward of Tesvav. Shinu Chachamim b'mailes haChacham haSholem. One of the qualities of a whole Chacham is a makiris makoymoy. He recognizes his place. It's a Mishnah Avot, huh? Chachma yuchedes he yechaltoy shel adam ledat v'agdil atzmo es makoymoy v'tafe b'toich haklal. It's a special quality that a person needs, an ability that a person has, to define and find his unique place in the greater scheme of things. Hadorim Omrim Haim Beyachas Lekol Yochid VeYochid VeHaim Beyachas Lekol Dor Rador. As every individual has a unique tafkid, a unique place in the world, Moshe Rabbeinu showed every Jew where to stand at Sinai. Because every Jew's Kabbalah Sotorah is going to come from a different perspective. No two Jews from a couple Torah the same way. What's the proof? Is Moshe Rabbeinu had to tell them where to stand. Only Moshe Rabbeinu understood where everybody had to stand. It wasn't a question of, you know, who had the $50 seats, and who had the $200 seats, and who had the $1,000 seats, and who had ringside seats, the back seats. Moshe Rabbeinu told each Jew where to stand. Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. What's Ish Echad B'Lev Echad? If you want to tell me, like Rashi says, that they were united, just say. What's Ish Echad B'Lev Echad? It's coming to tell you a thing that each Ish was an Ish Echad. Ish Meyuchad. Each Jew was completely different to the next Jew, and yet they were B'Lev Echad. I think that's Pshat. That doesn't mean they came there and they were all together. You know, sort of like a bunch of clones, a bunch of groupies all just doing the same thing. Jews don't function like that. Jews are very, very vibrantly independent, and yet we learn to work together sometimes.
So the opposite of what you're thinking is, when you think Ish Echad B'Lev Echad means one, like one person, really we're saying no, they were all individual.
It means that as well, by the way. It doesn't take out of that pshat. Avada, that's the pshat.
No,
pshat.
No, sure. No,
Avada,
no.
They were so united, they were like one Ish, because Klal Yisrael is Ish Echad. The Chazanish passing Zaloch is based on that Yisod, that was Ish Echad.
But the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu gave each one a place, it seems to be saying that each one was a part of one whole.
In Achinami, they were Ish Echad. But each one had a unique tafkid, the same as your right hand and your left hand don't stand in the same place, and yet they're all part of the one whole. I'll prove it to you. If you're cutting meat with your right hand, and you cut your left hand by mistake, the left hand doesn't take a knife and stab the right hand, because what are you doing? Because we Ish Echad. Klal Yisrael is also Ish Echad. But it's made up of all different parts, and those parts are all different, they each have a different tafkid to do. So Klal Yisrael, what Moshe Rabbeinu did when he showed each person where to stand, is because each person had to have a Kabbalah Satori, which is going to be different. They all had a different perspective on Kabbalah Satori. Ada Yom Hazeh. The way I learn is not the way you learn. The way I see reality is not the way you see reality. As long as that reality is filtered through Torah, and it's Torah reality, then you find. And you see that. Rashi is not the same as Tosfos. Rabbeinu Tam doesn't learn like the way Rabbeinu Shmuel learns. The Ri doesn't learn the way the Rosh learns. Rabbeinu Bar doesn't understand the Gemara the way Rav Shimon Shkop understands the Gemara, and they're all part of the same diamond. They're all facets of that diamond. It's an amazing thing. We've mentioned it many times here before. It's a Yesod Godel. Is you would expect that the more people get involved in Torah and are keeping Torah, the more alike they would become. Correct? Because you're all keeping the same rules, you're playing by the same book, you would expect them to be predictable in the same way. And we see it's exactly the opposite. The deeper people are in Torah and the more versed they are in Torah, the more different they are from everybody else who's also versed in Torah. It's the Amoratzim that look like groupies. The Gedolim are vibrantly independent, fascinatingly independent. How does that happen? Because it's Ish Echad. As long as the Kavon is L'Shem Shemayim, as long as they're all serving Hashem, they're all facing the same direction. But how you get there, they're all going to get there differently because they all stood at Har Sinai in a different place and they all got a different dimension, different aspect and a different istaklut on Torah. Has to be that way. When you don't know what you're doing, it's easy to just be like everybody else. Because when you know what you're doing, you have to know it. You've got to be Rav Moshe and Rav Aaron were similar in any way. Look at the Gedolim. The ones that get on with each other I'm talking about. The ones that faced, that were mamash. Moshe and Aaron hardly agreed on anything. And yet they managed to work together, and Rav Chinuchai is made together, and Rav Tol Tali Shol together, without any problems. Rav Hutra and Rav Vigda Miller barely spoke to each other. And yet they managed to run a Shiva together very well and very successfully. because it's Kulei Chayil of Hashem, the whole of Torah. They married each other's kids because it's the Shem Shemayim. But very different. They have to be different. Hashem doesn't need meat to meet. If I'm going to do what you're doing, then we've got a problem. Because you've got two yous and not a me. You need a you and you need a me. We'll see. He's got a whole chapter on this later. That's Bishvili Nivra'ilo. Kishem Shechokhme Yuchedis Nitzeches Gedele Hakiris Mokom Ayochid Betoich HaKlal. in the same way as it takes a certain chokhmah to be able to recognize the unique place of each individual in the klal, it also takes a certain chokhmah to be able to understand what the unique tafkid of this generation is in relation to all the other generations. The very important yusodia, and we're going to use this a lot, very fundamental yusodia. We're waiting for the third one. We've had two, we're in the middle of the second, and we're desperately waiting for the third. Tekufas Yishoni Tekufa Lahagid Baboyke Chasdecho. Hachal Mitzias Mitzrayim, Dera Kabbalah Satoyre, Kibush Eretz, Achaim Al Kinevua, Beis Hamikdash, Shiklal Osir Nisim, Shunasa Bekol Yom, Vad Loisa Yemah Venima Bo Chora Babais. Haisa Anogas Hashem, this period, from Kabbalah Satoyre, Pashtus. Kibush Eretz Yisrael, living with Nevim, the Beis Hamikdash with all the Nisim, etc., etc., ad Choban Bais Rishon, the Erech, up to the age of Knesset Gedoyle. Haisan Hogas Hashem Imanu Bebechinas Boike. Hakol Yeh Nir Vebohir. Rabbi Tetzer's new safe is all on this Yisod. All on this Yisod. Give some background here. There's an important piece of background you need here. I'll give it to you now. The Lord Tishtush Meir Buvia. Everything was clear. There was Nevi'im. There were 1,200 Nevi'im running around Eretz Yisrael at the time. You wanted to know what you should do today. You went to ask the Navi. What job should I do? What's my tafkid in the world? Why am I ill? Because you did the severity. You do tshuva, the illness goes away. Clarity. Total clarity. Go through Tanakh. You'll see Klal Yisrael lived with blinding clarity. They had their problems. They had their avarice. They had their wars. They had their difficulty. But they lived with clarity. Lahagid by boyke chazdecha yanika ba'olul kashe anu esim izrotzen Hashem anu zoichil v'shef v'toiv me'roimim. We saw with clarity that when we did the Rotzen Hashem, we got enormous bracha. The Chaschili Lebeisha Anu Ovrim Al Rotzen Is Baruch Anu Naan Shim Bekol Eis Shebo Yisi Yirida Ruchnias Shalam Sablon. The minute there was a Yirida in Ruchnias, we started doing Aveiras. Immediately there was a response from Hashem. V'machakan V'sha Hashem Chazonu B'tshuva and Yistalkara. We did Tshuva, the evil went away. Total clarity. Hanogas Zua Yisa Hanogas Tzadik V'Toivlo Rosh HaMaralo. That's called Tzadik V'Toivlo Rosh HaMaralo. You've come at a good time, we just started again. We finished the Sefer and we're just starting to go again for the first time. What's your job in a matzah like that? Lahagid by Boker Chazdecho. To declare his Chesed in the morning, lefarsim is godless Hashem, v'estavosav, v'flois of v'choloin. To go and praise and spread out and publicize Hashem's wondrous goodness in all the world. Lumazois mechuba bais va'ilech, phase two, the bais hamikdash gets destroyed, v'nichnosu l'choyshech ha'golos, and we step into a world called choyshech, the darkness of exile. Hakol na'asa choshuch, everything's become dark. Lord Borah v'lo Muvan. We don't understand anything. Nothing's clear anymore. Rabbim Shoalim. That's Purim, by the way. Purim was the first Chag of the new era and the last Chag of the last era. Purim's at that interface. It's the last Sefer that made it into Tanakh. It was a machlokes whether it should be there or not. There's no Shem Hashem in there. It's the period that's introducing, that's beginning. Ve'munoscha b'leilos. Total non-clarity. Hakol naasa chashuch, lo boru lo muvan. Rabbim shoylim, keitzei ditochen matzav shel tzadik v'ra'alo v'roshu v'toivlo? How do you understand good things happening to bad people? Tzadik v'ra'alo, roshu v'toivlo. Da'ach hanogas Hashem nistoris hein mi'amanu. Hashem's ways are completely hidden from us. Nothing makes sense, nothing's clear anymore. Ma'az va'ad atah choshech choylechin mitgaben, it gets darker and darker and darker. V'matzav zeh ein lanu ma lagidu lefarsem bo'ilo. We have nothing to advertise to the world. Adarab, shmoy shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu mechoylo b'goyim. Hashem's name is Chilul Hashem Otzim Elchem. V'tafkideinu lichyot bebechinas ve'emunoscha b'leilos. Bo'cha b'kukum ha'amed alecha. Tzadik be'emunos ve'yichye. We live with emuna. Lechazek be'libeinu pnime esvadka emuna. We have to mechazek within ourselves and strengthen ourselves in the face of all this confusion, the fundamentals of emuna. Choshev mod la'adgish, v'shneis galusa yode imanet kufa shel zricha v'shkia. There's no question, over the period of Golus, there were bright lights shining. There were moments of incredible zricha and moments of shkia. Tkufa shel pricha v'kamisha. Ups and downs. Ach tomad hu yode lishmo al gecheles emuna. Klal Yisrael knew how to keep the fires of emuna alive. There was never a mess. Apikosis, never a mass denial of the authenticity of Hashem and His Torah, like we see today. Jews went through good and bad times. They went through terrible sufferings. They went through inconvenience and all sorts of horrific, terrible sufferings. But there was never a mass abandoning of Hashem like we see today. Hayudim gamba matzavim kamshim b'yosef lo hit loinenu v'kav l'din shemayim ba'avu. They didn't complain to Hashem. They had problems with Hashem. If they did have complaints, they had complaints to Hashem. They blamed Hashem. At least there was an Hashem in the world. They were able to extract, which was a tafkid of this period, the enormous light that's hidden in the darkness. They were able to extract that light from the darkness. The light is hidden in the darkness. There's a light where Hashem reveals Himself and everything's clear in the world. Then Hashem hides Himself away. He says, come find me. You ever play hide and seek with your kids? Huh? Yeah. So when the kid's 1 year old, you don't play hide and seek with him. Why not? So he hasn't got the kelim to look for you. He hasn't got the kelim to play to hide to whatever. So you have to show him, you have to say, Abba, and you have to play with him, and you know, Abba, and whatever. The kid gets a bit older, you start playing hide and seek with him. What do? You hide under the table. And he comes and looks for you, and he gets so excited when he finds you. As the kid gets older and older, you have to hide further and further and further away in order for him to find you. Why Hashem does that, we'll see. I'm not going into why he's playing hide and seek with us. But the fact is that the light got hidden, and it's our job and opportunity to reveal that light. And that light that we reveal is much greater light than what even the Nevi'im were able to reveal.
Is that objectively true, or just because it's...
No, objectively true.
It's contrasted with the darkness that's around here.
Partially, but also because intrinsically the light is brighter even without the darkness. It's not just our perception that the light's brighter, it's a deeper light that Hashem hid away. That's pshat, I believe, in Chochem Odif Minovi, that the Chochem is greater than the Prophet. Why is the Chochem greater than the Prophet? So you look at Rabbi Tetzer's new sefer, which I highly, if I could force you to read it, I would. Highly recommend. It's a masterpiece, a classic masterpiece. It's just come out a couple of weeks ago, very recently. It's called something about the dark that ends the dawn or something, or the dark that introduces, something about dark and dawn. If you Google Tetz Dawn, you'll get the book, and then the next one is Dawn Tetz's Facebook page. So, what can I tell you? I gobbled it up 3 times on Shabbos. It's a masterpiece, absolute masterpiece. And it's dealing with exactly this subject. From his perspective, we're going to deal it from our perspective, as dawn ends the night. His wife did a lovely job on the cover, she painted the cover. Highly, highly recommended. It's basically a Kabbalistic historical perspective. But the Ikka focus is on what's changed and how do we find God in a world where you don't see God. Torah is full of God and the world's empty of God. So what's going on here? The Torah and the world are supposed to work for the same thing. Anyway, fascinating sefer, and he deals with this question. What changed, really, by the ancient princess of Gedolim, that's really where the shift took place. That group of 120 Gedolim was made up of Nevi'im and non-Nevi'im. It was the interface of taking and moving forward. And what's our role? It's not just a nice history book, but it's what, how do we, and that's what this book's about, is how do you go about dealing with this new tekuf in the world, and how do you understand it, and how do we relate to it, and what does it have to do with me personally? That's really what it's about. I just want to give you a quick hagdama. It's a subject of another book of Rabbi Tetz's. If you look in his second, third sefer, called Living Inspired, he discusses this fundamental, and it's very important to know, because this sort applies everywhere. There's nothing anywhere, microcosmically or macrocosmically, where this yisod doesn't apply, and it's very important to know it. So we don't have enough time to go into it properly, but just at least we should have the understand the principle. I always say that if you understand the core principle of anything, then you're able to apply it and use it and understand what's going on. If you don't understand the principles, you just understand the ramifications, you get very confused. To drive down and find the principle. So the principle is like this, is everything in the world is made up of three phases, three parts. One, two, and three. Let's give them more explanatory names. One is the stage one, which is a stage of inspiration. Phase two is a stage of hard work. And stage three is the culmination of the hard work and the inspiration that reveals the new edifice that you've now built. What does that mean? It means you get an enormous amount of inspiration at the beginning of anything, which shows you what you're capable of and what you can achieve. But you didn't do anything. You got it for free. I'll give you examples now. That gets taken away and you get plunged into a very difficult dark phase where you have to go rebuild. And when that you have shown originally, but now it's yours, you built it, you did it. It doesn't come gift. Why does it be that way? Because we said if you get anything for nothing, it's really not that worthwhile because it's receiving charity as opposed to a salary. Nobody likes receiving charity.
We can understand only if we are doing the things. That means it's
that's another aspect. Yes. The understanding is another aspect in a chinami. But the ikar reason is because that's how Hashem created the world. We used to be with Hashem. That's where we come from. And where it's all over, back with Hashem. So why don't you just leave us everything the way it was? What do you have to come down here for? What are you here for? I was with Hashem, I'm going to go back to Hashem. Great. So what do I have to go through hell for? To get back to where I was? No, you're not back to where you were. You were with Hashem before, you didn't do anything. You just woke up one day in the penthouse suite. You don't know how you got there because yesterday you went to sleep in the coal cellar and suddenly you wake up and you're in the, you know, the $50 million suite. How did you get here? Hashem picked you up and put you there to show you where you really belong. But he wants you to earn it. That's why he created the world. The whole world was created in order to give us that greatness to Hashem. But having earned it, so he puts us down here where you go and you work and you battle and you struggle and you build it. And then in the end, where are you? You're back with Hashem, but you've earned it. It's yours now. You've built yourself as opposed to just being a receiver. You become the giver, which means you're now mamash like Hashem because you're now a giver like Hashem. You're also a receiver because you receive His good, which Hashem doesn't have that aspect. That's another discussion which we'll get to. You see this everywhere in life. We get inspired about something and we're going to do it and whatever, and then boy meets girl, the violin starts playing, and you know, the sunsets and the wonderful romance. And then they get married, and what happens? A week later, it's like, I married the wrong girl. Oh, what happened? And they get divorced. That's not what to do. Now you're supposed to start working. Phase one is to show you what you're capable of. But that's not, what, you didn't do anything. Now go spend 50, 60 years of working very hard, and you'll get back to, those that have done it tell me, you'll get back to where you were during the engagement period. That's the inspiration, and that's the inspiration being taken away. That's Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael comes out of its rhyme, that's birth of Klal Yisrael in a blaze of miracles. Open revelations of Hashem everywhere. What happens? It gets taken away. Now you've got to crawl through the darkness and get back to that phase. That's the way a child gets created. Flash of male inspiration, which then gets sent to the female dimension, which is always the dark side. I'm nothing about men or women here. Not talking about men and women, we're talking about male and female, which may or not have something to do with men and women. And she goes and in the hidden darknesses of a recess of herself, builds this child. And when you get given birth to the child, that's the exact child that he gave her in that massive inspiration. This is male, female child. Abba, imma, ben. It's going on everywhere. Wherever you look, you'll see this. Bal tshuva, you get more while you go to the share, you get inspired, you understand everything. You understand everything, you know exactly why you're giving up your job and you're going to give Shiva Shabbos and you prepare to get and then like, you know, after a month or 2 months or 6 months, however long it lasts, you're suddenly like, can't look at another toisus. If I see another welcome to phase two. Welcome to phase two. You get a smile from your Rebbe and he says, welcome to phase two. Now it's hard work, go build it. And you know in yourself, every time you have a plan, you want to start a business, you want to do something or whatever, it's very inspirational, it's very exciting at the beginning, but that's not where you build your business. You build your business through those long, difficult, hard years of working hard, that female dimension, of putting it together piece by piece, painful, patient piece by piece. So that's really what we're describing in macrocosmic terms, is Klal Yisrael's growth and development. That's really what the Tetzis new Sefer is all about, and that's really what this Sefer is about. This Sefer is not focusing so much on the changes and why the changes take place. It's more focusing on now that the changes have taken place, how to use them properly. That's where the main focus is. The Sikhs, beautifully with the Tetzis Sefer, and it's based on the same fundamental principles. They're just coming at it from different perspectives. But you'll see the two being very, very tightly worked together. Let's Hashem will carry on tomorrow on this, but this is sort of critical. Will solve you many problems in life. Rebecca once said to me, he said, if you find yourself in the penthouse suite, don't ask for the title deed if you don't know how you got there. If you know how you got up there, you can stay, it's yours. But if you just woke up right in a place where you don't know how you got there, don't make any permanent plans, because you're not going to be there for long. You're going to get dumped very soon. I think Rav Tetz has a shia that's called Why Don't the Good Times Last? I think that's what he calls the shia. But it's very much what Living Inspired is about. It's a hagdama to everything in Torah that you need to understand. The fundamental building blocks of DNA of any deeper Torah wisdom is based on these three. That was Pesach, Sfiras HaOmer, and Shavuos. You want to see it in the Torah. Pesach was a flash of blinding inspiration. The lower Shifcha saw things that Yecheskel wasn't going to see. And Yecheskel worked very hard to see what he saw. And yet people are getting free gifts all over. They're seeing Maisa Breshis and Maisa Makovas, and they're having open revelations of Hashem, Zekeli. And what did they do for that? Nothing. Then they cross over the sea and they're in the desert. Now it's pitch black. Desert is a place where there's no water, meaning there's no Torah, there's no spirituality. And they get given 50 days to get back to Hasina, where they're getting given the Torah, which is, but you've earned the Torah now. They're getting it for nothing. They went through terrible nisayus in those 50 days. Very dark, dingy place, a desert. And what happened in the end? They got back to the level. They were on it, Kriyas Yamsu, but now they've earned it. You see it there as well. This is everywhere. You won't find anywhere not like this. We continue. Shalom Aleichem.
You're not from Pittsburgh, are you? One of my greatest teachers is from Pittsburgh. It's a Shiner, who's talking to his own son, where he tells his story. I was born.